Radio Prague News. The Czech health minister has accused the largest opposition party of drafting its health sector reform for money from the state-owned health insurance company VZP. More prison service employees will be held accountable for the escape of two convicted murderers, and the Prague Jewish community has elected a new leader. The Czech health minister David Rath said on Friday he suspected Tomáš Julínek, the shadow health minister of the opposition Civic Democrats, of having drafted his health sector reform for money coming from the state-owned health insurance company VZP. Mr. Rath called on Mr. Julínek to prove how his project was financed. Mr. Julínek denied the allegations. His Civic Democratic Party say they will commission legal examination of the forced administration imposed on the VZP on Thursday, as they say it was in breach of law. The Civic Democrats have also called for an extraordinary session of the lower house of parliament. The newly appointed health minister David Rath imposed forced administration on VZP, the largest state-owned Czech health insurance company, on Thursday. He said the move was supposed to improve the company's ailing finances. Health Minister Rath, along with Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek, called on the VZP's director Jiřina Musílková to resign, but she refused to step down. The government's move has been criticized by the opposition right of center Civic Democrats, as well as Czech President Václav Klaus, who's on a state visit to India. The head of the Czech prison service, Luděk Gula, has said that at least six other people will be held accountable for the escape of two convicted murderers from a prison in the West Bohemian town of Plzeň on Tuesday. The head of the prison was sacked on Tuesday and one prison guard was suspended on Thursday. The two prisoners made their escape by hiding themselves in a pallet, which was then driven out in a van. They are both still at large. Police say the two men had at least two accomplices. The former Czech president Václav Havel said that people in post-communist states, including the Czech Republic, will sooner or later call for changes, as they will not tolerate the interconnection of economic and financial elites that replaced communist regimes in the 1990s. Speaking in Prague on Friday at a meeting of the Club of Madrid, Mr. Havel said that the public refuses to accept mafia practices at a certain moment and people start awakening as citizens. He also said that the call for change has already been evident in Ukraine or Georgia. The former president of Ireland, Mary Robinson, who's also attending, said on Friday that the European Union should make more efforts towards the democratization of Belarus. The Club of Madrid was established in the Spanish capital 3 years ago, and its members, former heads of state, meet regularly. The present forum is its first ever event held outside Spain. The Prague Jewish community has elected a new leader after a year of rows within the community. The new chairman, František Bányai, has been acting leader since last year when the previous chairman, Tomáš Jelínek, was dismissed. The term of the new leadership will expire in 2008, and according to deputy chairman Jakub Roth, the main goal is to stabilize the situation within the community. And finally, a glance at the weather. During the weekend, we can expect overcast skies with daytime temperatures between 4 and 11 degrees Celsius on Saturday and 4 to 8 degrees on Sunday. I'm Pavla Horáková, that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, broadcasting in English around the world. I'm Jan Wellinger. Today, the country's largest state-owned health insurance firm, the VZP, comes under forced administration. We look at changes in store. The agriculture minister steps down over a corruption scandal in the Czech land fund. And it's do or die for the Czech national football side with Pavel Nedvěd and co. in a key World Cup playoff. Those stories and more. It's been in the air 4 weeks, but now it actually happened. The newly appointed health minister David Rath has put the largest state-owned health insurer, the VZP, under forced administration, bringing the conflict between the Social Democrat-led government and the VZP to a head. The insurer, which caters for some 70% of Czechs, is notorious for late payments to doctors, and despite many state initiatives over the last years to improve its finances, the health insurer's current debt is more than 10 billion crowns. That's roughly $400 million US. Pavla Horáková has the story.
When Health Minister David Rath announced the forced administration on Thursday, he called it a declaration of merciless war against inefficiency and wastefulness. He blamed the management, headed by director Irina Musilková, and said it was up to Mrs. Musilková now just how long the forced administration would last.
Pokud se nebude křečovitě držet funkce, tak my jsme schopni začít ten.
If Mrs. Musilková stops clinging on to her post, we'll be able to launch a selection procedure for a new director who would guarantee professionally that this institution will not face such problems as it's facing now.
Se nedostane do těch problémů, v kterých je dnes.
Mr. Rat also hinted that hundreds of millions of crowns were channeled to private accounts of people close to the opposition Civic Democratic Party. Shortly after the announcement of the administration on Thursday, Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek called on Irina Musilková to resign. Mrs. Musilková dismissed the allegations by Mr. Rat and refused to step down. On the contrary, she's planning to take legal action.
Já nevím, co má pan minister na mysli. Naše Polska nepodporuje žádné politické strany, žádné peníze.
I don't know what the minister has in mind. Our insurance company does not support any political parties. There is no cash flow in that direction. We pay for the health care of our clients.
A ohrazuji se zásadně proti takovým nařčením.
So, Pavla, that happened on Thursday, but on Friday morning, Mr. Rat gave a press conference. Have there been any new developments?
Well, Jan, David Rat actually specified his allegations of financial links between the opposition Civic Democrats and the health insurance company VZP. He said the main author of the Civic Democrats' health sector reform plan has a lucrative consultancy contract with the VZP, and Minister Rat actually called on the Civic Democrats' shadow health minister to prove that the publication of the reform proposal was not financed from the insurance company's funds.
Mm-hmm. And so far we've heard about rows between parties and officials, but how is all this going to affect the health insurance payer, the patient? The VZP said yesterday that people started inquiring on, for example, how to leave.
Well, on Friday morning, Minister Rat said that we need not fear.
Pojišťovna je nyní pod kontrolou státu, pod plnou garancí státu.
He said that the VZP was now under full control of the state and therefore it was the best and most stable of all health insurance companies. Also, he said that he went to the company's Prague headquarters and saw just two people in the customer's hall. The VZP caters for about 7 million clients out of the Czech Republic's total population of 10.2 million, but is responsible for about 80% of health insurance payments because it is legally obliged to guarantee medical care for the elderly and children, for example. So the company is now worried that those who might consider leaving it are those well-off and healthy, that is, people who contribute the most money and consume the least care. So consequently, the VZP could end up in deeper financial trouble.
Thanks to Pavla Horáková. Now let's go from that story to problems surrounding the land fund. Allegations that state officials, including Agriculture Minister Petr Zgarba, had passed on inside information to land speculators have now caused heads to roll. First those of the entire board of the powerful land fund, and finally that of the minister himself. Daniela Lazarová has more.
Agriculture Minister Petr Zgarba maintains that he is innocent of the allegations against him, and he did everything possible to save his own neck in the midst of the scandal that broke out. But with Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek in office, he never stood a chance. When Jiří Paroubek became Prime Minister a few months ago, the ruling Social Democrats' credibility was in a shambles, not least because his predecessor, Stanislav Gross, had clung to his post with egg on his face. Mr. Paroubek managed to regain public trust by projecting the image of an efficient manager who is swift and uncompromising in dealing with problems. And ahead of next year's general elections, he is more uncompromising than usual. He recently replaced the former health minister, Milada Emirová, with a man who is poised to effect the most radical reform of the health sector in 13 years, and he is now clearly determined to salvage what he can from the land fund scandal that broke out 2 weeks ago. His authority in the party, since he took up the post of prime minister and turned around its fortunes, is unquestioned. However, the road ahead is not going to be easy. Just a few months ago, the Social Democrats were racked by inner conflict, with the left and right factions pulling in different directions. Political analyst Vladimíra Dvořáková believes that although the prime minister has won a battle, he has not yet won the war.
Well, I think that the impact of these scandals were extremely negative. And Mr. Perlbeck, when he started his position as a prime minister, he gained popularity mainly by the fact that he was able very quickly to solve the problems that could hurt the party. On the other hand, I'm not sure whether, for instance, the fact that Minister Skarba has resigned could not have negative impact inside the party, because we know that there are still a lot of factions that are not now very active or strongly criticizing the prime minister, but they are rather strong in the party, and we shall see how this resignation will be accepted by the rest of the party or by some factions inside the party.
But basically, the party's success depends on Mr. Perlbeck himself, doesn't it?
I think that it depends on himself, because he is rather popular, and also it really depends on the fact that the party will be able to show that it's unified, that's able to concentrate on solving the problems, not to concentrate the work of the party only on internal problems, discussions, arguments, blackmailing of the leadership, and so on. So the party has to regain the image of the party that's concentrating on solving of the problems of the society, not the party that's concentrated only on internal fight of particular factions in the party.
Political analyst Vladimira Dvořáková there on the Prime Minister's woes with the Land Fund. Well, of course, it's known as the beautiful game, but will it be a beautiful game on Saturday? All eyes will be on a muddy football pitch in Oslo as the Czech Republic do battle with Norway for one of five places left open for next year's World Cup. That's in Germany. The Czech Republic became independent in 1993, but has failed to qualify for the last three World Cups. Rob Cameron has the details.
The Czech Republic, ranked third in the world by FIFA, go into Saturday's first leg World Cup playoff as the favourites, but underdogs Norway, ranked 37th, are hoping for an upset. The two teams have played each other just twice in the past in qualifiers for Euro 96. Back then, the Czechs drew 1-1 in Oslo and won 2-0 at home. The Czech team will be hoping for a repeat on Saturday and the return leg next Wednesday in Prague. Ivan Hašek was the captain of the Czechoslovak team, which reached the quarter-finals of the 1990 World Cup. He says the Czechs for optimism, but must keep their feet firmly on the ground.
I think playoffs are the hardest matches. We have such a great team, I think we'll handle this one. But I have to say that even though the whole country is optimistic, it's still important to be careful. We have to go into this match with humility. We have to go into it with a great deal of discipline. The match will start out 50-50. Qualifying will be very difficult, but I believe our team will do it.
The Czech side have been given a major boost by the return of 33-year-old Juventus midfielder Pavel Nedved, a former European Footballer of the Year. Nedved last played for the Czech Republic in the Euro 2004 semi-final against Greece when they lost 1-0. He injured his knee in that match and retired from international football, saying it was taking too big a toll on his body. Now he's back for this crucial qualifier against Norway.
As far as the playoff is concerned, I'm glad the coach has put his trust in me and that I can help out for these two matches. It's not a long-distance race, it's just two games, so seeing as I'm fit, I'm glad I can be here.
Nedved, who has never won a major title with his national team, is still seen as one of the world's best midfielders, up there with Zinedine Zidane of France and Portugal's Luis Figo. However, there is serious concern about the state of the pitch in Oslo. Heavy rain and men's and women's cup finals at the weekend have left Norway's national stadium virtually stripped of grass. Much of the pitch is mud, but the Norwegians say they are heating and drying the turf and there is no chance of a postponement. The poor conditions have boosted the home side and spooked the Czechs. Captain Tomáš Galášek said his team needed good terrain to play their game. However, the Czechs have not lodged a formal complaint, and coach Karel Brikner said his team was ready to cope with any conditions. The weathermen are forecasting sunny skies for Oslo on Saturday. The bookies are forecasting a Czech win. Turn on your radios and TVs this weekend to see if those forecasts come true.
Rob Cameron with that story, and we will, of course, be keeping our fingers crossed. It's that time of the week again, all the latest in business news, and for that I'm joined by Brian Kennedy in the studio.
Thanks, Jan. A group of Czech farmers whose holdings include land at the proposed site of a new $1.2 billion car plant appear ready to accept a land swap and unspent compensation from the government to relocate. The site in Ostrava is the South Korean carmaker Hyundai's first choice for building its new plant. The farmers had been reluctant to move, and Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek had hinted last month that the state could force them to accept a deal. The standoff mirrored an obstacle that Kia Motors, a Hyundai affiliate, faced in 2002 when it tried to buy land for its first European factory in neighboring Slovakia.
Czechs are setting aside far less of their savings, half as much as they were a decade ago. According to fresh data from the Czech Statistical Office, the savings rate dropped to 7.3% this year from 14.2% in 1995. Low interest rates have contributed to the drop as loans became cheaper. Household borrowing during the past decade has increased almost tenfold. At 7.8%, the Czech household savings level is now below the European Union average.
The Budget Committee of Parliament has proposed an amendment to the tax law that would substantially lower the penalties for unpaid tax, now among the highest in Europe, at up to 73% of the overdue sum. The amendment calls for charging a flat 20% penalty on the unpaid tax. Many businesses risk an audit rather than pay the penalties, and deputies believe lowering the rate would encourage slackers to come forward and boost state revenues.
Corrupt officials are a far greater problem for Czech exporters than terrorists. According to a survey of 250 Czech firms by the package forwarders DHL and market research firm GfK Praha, one in five respondents said they had encountered corruption in a country to which they supply products. Only 7% of those polled said they had taken precautions due to the threat of terrorism.
Year-on-year inflation rose to 2.6% in October, the fastest growth so far this year, the Czech Statistical Office said on Tuesday. Inflation had reached 2.2% in September. Higher fuel costs were the main reason for the jump. Economists now predict inflation could reach 4% in 2006 and expect the Czech National Bank to raise interest rates slightly in January.
And we go now to our feature for this day, The Arts with Colleen O'Connor, in which he looks at the famous Prague Film School FAMU and its well-known student festival.
The theme tune to this year's FAMU Fest, which was held in Prague last week. FAMU Fest is the annual showcase of films made by students of the Film and TV School of Prague's Academy of Performing Arts, or FAMU as it's known. This school has a special place in Czech society, because practically every Czech filmmaker of note, from Miloš Forman to Jan Svěrák, learned their trade here. A fact which is emphasised by one of this year's FAMU Fest participants, student and budding screenwriter Eva Jestrabova.
FAMU is not only famous in the Czech Republic, it's also famous actually all around Europe because it's where the new wave emerged. And for a long time it has been the only film school in the Czech Republic, and a lot of foreigners, especially from the Eastern Bloc, came to study at FAMU. And basically all the filmmakers started there because there was practically no other way to start than FAMU.
This year's FAMU Fest paid homage to its proud tradition by including a special section showing student films from the vaults. Movie buffs were treated to an intriguing collection of old films made by Czech cinematic luminaries such as Věra Chytilová, Miloš Forman and Jan Němec when they were just students. Nevertheless, despite this special attraction, the main focus of the festival, as always, is the presentation of films by current FAMU students. Movie producer Vratislav Schleyer, himself a FAMU graduate, says that FAMU Fest plays an important role in helping the Czech movie makers of tomorrow make a name for themselves in the cinema industry.
The festival FAMU always served as opposition to school, where the students are judged by teachers. So they organized festival where they made up their own jury that judge the films. So it's always important as a second view on the films. And somehow it serves the school itself, and it's a 1 year event when all the students meet and see each other's films. So that's important. And also it's getting bigger and bigger and sort of more open to public, so people get to know school films or FAMU films.
Well-known film critic Tomasz Baldinski is another person who acknowledges the importance of FAMU Fest to the local cinema calendar.
It's important professionally for me because of I can see the films of the future directors I'm going to write reviews on. And so it's really important because of otherwise you wouldn't see those films because of they're only screened on school itself. So it's just kind of like FAMU is like opening and letting some people inside to see what's going on there. And each year we can say what FAMU did, you know, which way is going. And this is nice.
To s tím nemá co společného. Politika, vojsko,
a láska.
Láska. Láska nefantazírujte. Láska. Mě říct zase rovnická láska.
A scene from Okupantka, one of the hits of this year's festival, which analyzed the feelings of a Russian woman living in Prague towards the 1968 occupation. The film was directed by documentary student Sharka Slizakova. She says FAMU Fest is an important opportunity for her to get some critical feedback on her work.
I think that FAMU Fest is the really great space for showing film, and I think that the best is that you will see the film of colleague and so on in FAMU Fest. Is people which I know, and they say really hard, for example, mistake to my film and so on. And in other festival, it's different because there is people they don't know anything about film, and they have different ideas and thinking about film. It's different.
Sharka's fellow student director Jan Fokal also appreciates the chance to show the films he has made to a cinematically literate audience.
I think the Film Fest is very important for us, for students, to show each other films we made. And it's the biggest life of our films in society of school and in society of this city.
As the birthplace of the much-vaunted Czech New Wave of the 1960s, and with three Oscar-winning directors among its alumni, the importance of FAMU to Czech cinema in the past is undisputed. Nevertheless, as it is now no longer the only film school in the Czech Republic, one could say its significance to Czech film is not what it once was. Sharka Slezakova, however, is confident that the value of a FAMU education is undiminished.
I think that FAMU is a really great school, maybe the greatest in the Europe, and I think that documentary film is a really great part of FAMU. There are very, very interesting directors and very, very interesting people. And I think that level of FAMU is still so high.
Despite FAMU's exalted reputation, the students attending the school today will undoubtedly find it harder to make their way in the cinema industry than their illustrious predecessors from the state-supported socialist era. Sharka Slezakova admits that financing her films in a cutthroat capitalist environment will probably be the worst difficulty she faces.
To make film, it's really hard because of money. It's the great problem of making film. But I think that maybe I will make or shoot some film on FAMU, and after, maybe some people will see my film and say, you are great, you are good, and maybe then give me some money.
Besides teaching its students to make films and giving them an opportunity to showcase them, Tomasz Baldinski says that there are other, less tangible, but equally valid reasons for the FAMU school's importance to the future of Czech cinema.
FAMU is not working only as the school who teaches you how to do the film, but gives you the context. So it's much easier to start shooting your first movie when you have FAMU, because of you know all people you should know. And if you're going from outside to the business, you have to start, you know, like, you know, shoot commercials and whatever. And you have to establish yourself, and school helps you in this way very much.
Considering the fact that FAMU casts such a long shadow over the Czech film industry, it might seem unfair that aspiring filmmakers who don't manage to get through its notoriously difficult admissions process will have great trouble starting a career in film elsewhere. So does producer Vratislav Schleyer think that one has to be part of a so-called FAMU mafia to really succeed in Czech cinema?
Yeah. Sometimes it seems that anybody who has something to do with film in Czech Republic had to go to FAMU before. Even people who try to, you know, start a film career or TV career without FAMU end up at FAMU anyway after some time, because it's just the environment that gives you chance to do some things, to have some films you can present, you know, you can build up a little filmography. And also you meet people you can work with, not only the people you can get money from later, but it's very important to be at FAMU.
The Arts was put together by Colleen O'Connor about Prague's FAMU Film School and the students' annual film festival. And if you'd like to look up a copy in text or just listen again, no problem. You can do that by visiting our website. Our address is radio.cz/English. It has all our stories and the latest news posted. If you'd also like, you can register for free to get an electronic email letter listing the latest developments. That's in your email every day. Why not give it a try? That's it for now, though. From the Czech capital, this is Jan Wellinger saying thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Onde Courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Sept heures vingt-sept. Europe, 5930, 7345. 8h30, 8h57. Europe, 9860, 11600. 17h30, 10h57, Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 15710, 19h30, 19h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 9430, 23h, 23h27, Amérique du Nord, 5930, 7345. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.